Isaiah 25 and verse 6. We're only going to read half of this verse, the first half of it. Isaiah 25, verse 6. And every time I see the word mountain, I check it out because I think that it might have to do with Calvary. That it might have to do with the cross. I don't know. My mind's weird. I think maybe there's an emphasis of the Lord there. Verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. All right. There's a difference between a meal and a feast. There's a difference between a meal and a feast. You know, a meal gives you just enough for everybody. But a feast, there's overabundance. There's more than you could ever want or eat. Well, some of you. But you see that? That God, all of the feasts of the Old Testament, they're called feasts, not meals. You know. And this is talking about the Lord bringing an increase. The Lord doing a work. The Lord accomplishing something. Many of you are familiar with the Song of Solomon. He brought me to his banqueting
table.
Wrong. The Bible says house. Your song taught you wrong. He brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me is, you're okay. Yes, it is. His banner over me is love. His banner over those who come to the feast. That's his heart and that's his spirit and that's what he, you know, wants to communicate. I mean, you know, I don't know how you feel, but I mean, I have felt so much of the Lord's love in this year's gathering for everyone. I mean, I just have been amazed. And it's the Lord's love. It's the Lord's love for Andreas. Amen? It's the Lord's love for Tony. It's the Lord's love for Emmy. It's the Lord's love for Martha. It's the Lord's love for Mary, Maria. Jesus loves you. Cristo te ama. See, she knows it. And Jesus is more than enough. And I don't know that we all really know that, but he's not a meal. He's more than enough. He's a feast. And I think God wants us to enter into the banqueting house, not some little table. You know? Thank you. She just said, he's not lying. I looked it up. He's right. Well, you got to watch it. I lied to you a lot. Another scripture from Song of Solomon, and I'm not having you turn there, but this is the heart of the Lord in this thing. This is his spirit, and I'm trying to get you to grasp that there's a feast. Jesus is more than enough, and we're still kind of hanging right to the edge instead of going in and into the feast. And so this is his words. Eat, O friends. Drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. That's the Lord. And that's the Lord talking to you and me about the abundance and about the feast and about his heart. And, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, a feast is not for the timid, okay? It's for the hungry. And this thing is called a Hungering Games. No. By the way, we had it before they did. Okay. But you know, if you went to a big feast somebody put on and you just ate a little bit, that's an affront to them. Because they want you, and the Lord wants you to eat abundantly. Oh, drink, you know, eat, drink. No, drink abundantly. The Lord is drawing your heart to get in there more and to feast more. In the scripture that we're on in verse 6, you should probably still turn there, Isaiah 24, right? 25, I'm sorry. Yes, verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. He's not referring to us when he says fat things. I mean, no, look at it. It doesn't say a feast for fat things. So don't get confused. This isn't saying that, okay? Don't get offended. But why, you know, he called it a feast for fat things. Why did he call it that? What was in his heart? Because a feast has the richest food. A feast nourishes you. A feast fills you. A feast satisfies you. If you really feast, you'll be satisfied. Some of you will be more than satisfied. You'll be hurting at night. But a feast is not a meal. It goes beyond just enough. The Lord wants to bring you beyond just enough. Are you okay with that? The Lord wants you to go beyond just enough. He wants you to come in, and he wants to add, because the feast adds to you. It adds substance, doesn't it? We call it fat, but but he adds substance. And back then, back in the pagan times or children of Israel, folks, when the fall came, you needed to eat a lot and put some fat on you because you had a bad winter coming and you didn't have all the stuff that we've got. You see what I mean? So they went, yeah, let's eat. And let's, you know, and they knew, you know, I mean, they knew we can get fat, but the harvest will come, or the sowing, and then the, you know, work in the fields, and then da 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 da. And the whole process keeps you okay. It keeps you okay. The Lord knows what he's doing. So quit worrying about your weight. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to know about that. All right. Another one from the Song of Solomon. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. There's a feast. He's more than enough. He is more than enough. We sit down and we eat of that seed. But there's a process, and most of you are familiar with it, but let's turn to the Gospel of John. Chapter 12. John chapter 12, and we're just going to read verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat, a grain of wheat, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Okay? What is the harvest? Okay? What is the harvest? It's nothing more than the result of yearly deaths. It's the result of yearly deaths. Except the seed fall into the ground and die, no fruit. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The harvest is nothing more than the result of yearly deaths that took place prior to the harvest. To the harvest. And it is the times that you lay down your life, you lay down your rights, and you let Christ come forth instead of you. Now, let me just ask you, anybody do that this past year? And y'all wonder why I was leaning to this side. I got more hands over. Let me just talk to you folks here. There has been a lot of seed sown. There has been a lot of laying down There have been a lot of times when you wanted your way and you said, you know what, this is achievement or whatever working in me to say, you know, no, but I say yes to Jesus, and I'm not going to demand my rights. I'm going to go with the Lord, and I'm going to release the Lord. Is that futile? You know? But it's those small, insignificant acts that seems foolish to the world and seems foolish to, you know, some churches. They just look at us and they go, why are you about a seed falling into the ground and die? Well, we'd like to see some fruit come forth. You know. Well, we would too. That's why we witness. But what kind of converts are you making? More of you or more of him? And I'm not here to criticize anyone else. I hope that wasn't taken that way. But the point is that we have chosen to be in covenant with the Lord over sacrifice. We chose that. And, you know, and if one of us, just one of us, just one seed here falls into the ground and dies, listen, it doesn't bring forth just one seed. Like a wheat seed, you put it in the ground, and that just that one seed will bring a stalk, and there'll be an abundance. We keep using that word, don't we? An abundance of seed. And we have that assurance. And yet it was just a small death. It seemed so small. It seemed so insignificant. It seemed like, well, you know, nothing really, really was accomplished except for they got their way and I laid down my life. But is that the truth? If a seed falls into the ground and die, it will bring forth fruit. And that's, Scripture says that. I wrote a statement here. I'll read it to you. Talking about one seed falling to the ground and die, and the fruit comes from that. And if you take that, the seeds that came forth from that, and the next harvest, you sow those, and then all of that's going to bring forth a whole bunch more. And then you gather in all of that, and the next harvest, you sow all of that. Where does that end up? Very quickly. And I said, and if every year what came forth from the harvest of the previous year is sown again, then we will see how one insignificant and foolish death will be multiplied into an endless cycle that will continue till the end of time. Anybody see what I'm talking about there? You know. I mean, that's how farmers got going. They had just a few seeds. They sowed them. They got some the next year. They sowed all of those. They got some the next year. And then one day they look out and they own all the land around them. And they've got all of this seed coming up everywhere. Okay, but it's different. In a sense, it's really different because we're not a farmer on a piece of land. We're in Arizona and we're in Ireland and we're in Houston and we're in Finland and we're in all, you know, Minnesota. We're in all these different places. And in some cases, there's only a few of us. And that laying down of our life for that Jesus would come forth for a purpose, an increase of Christ, is done there and there and there and there. So we don't see the big harvest in our field, in our backyard. Do you see what I'm saying? But it's nonetheless there. And it's nonetheless worthy of being celebrated. Worthy of being celebrated, of us coming together. And of us recognizing that it's not insignificant. I wrote another statement. I can't remember where I put it. The world counts each of these deaths as small and foolish and insignificant. But get this. But they are the substance of what the great harvest is made of.
Sharing the process over getting older. And I was thinking, oh man, it takes so long like steady and sure in the cross, and it takes so long to sow those seeds for them to go down. And I was just thinking, there's not enough time because generations pass so quick. I was getting really worried about this. Right? And then the Lord kind of shared with me that that's totally fine that generations pass quick because if I get sown to death, and that's eternal. Because if, like you're talking about sowing seeds, and it doesn't have to be, it can come up in generations to come. Like, it's eternal. We can sow eternally there. And that goes way beyond generations, and that's eternal. And that just, like, calmed my heart, because that way we're not dependent on just, we need to get another generation going. Come on, guys. You know, time is ticking. It's like, no, this, like, sowing and going into death, and then you're like, I'm just being with Christ and sowing Him. That's takes out all that time pressure, because that's eternal.
Yeah, it's eternal. It's eternal. That's what I began with, talking about pulls and things that keep moving you towards the Lord and towards the things of the Lord, not because of religion, but because of something that has an eternal thing. And maybe our minds, you know, as you were describing there, maybe our minds are not at the moment realizing this is eternal, but I have made covenant with Him according to sacrifice, and therefore I do it. But then all of a sudden it begins to dawn that, you know, it's eternal. It's not foolish and insignificant. It has eternal merit, and it has eternal results that other generations will be a benefactor of. So anyway, because we don't see these things, well, we tend to, you know, not ask or not expect any sort of abundance. We just want enough, you know, Lord, just give me enough to eat. And we especially don't expect those things when we fail, when we fail God. Well, I most people don't expect it when they're doing good. They're just, give me just enough, you know. But when we fail, oh, well, that's it then. I failed, I've sinned, I've come short, well, God doesn't love me anymore. Oh, and all this stuff and all this worrying and things like that, not really understanding how the Lord is and His view of come and feast, you know. And we become so discouraged with ourselves because of these things. And so we settle for crumbs. And so He's got this feast up there, and a few crumbs fall from the table. And we're down there with the dogs, you know. And, you know, we go, oh, praise God, thanks for the crumb. And you reach for it, and the dog goes, arr, arr, arr. And you go, get away from there. Yeah. You need to eat more. You won't be so grouchy. Just a thought. But we think we don't deserve a feast. That's the thing. Listen to me. It's not about deserving. It's about what the Lord has done and what He says about you. That's what it's about. And that's the only thing it's about. And I, how much time we got? It's gone already? Okay, then I'll give you the short version for here. The prodigal son. The prodigal son is such a perfect example of this. He messed up. He blew the chili. It's one of you. It's right here. Yeah, Book of Revelation. And the Lord blew on the chili. No. Gosh. But he thoroughly messed up, and he went out, and you know, he spent everything that the Father gave him, because there was nothing eternal behind it. He was trying to achieve something, and it all ends up, you end up losing it all eventually. And so he ends up in the hog pen, feeding pigs, which that may not sound that bad for you, but for a Jew boy, that's tough. Okay. And so, you know, he's finally sitting there in the hog pen, and he goes, you know what? I'm going to go back, and I'm going to repent to my Father, because there's bread enough in my Father's house. Okay. Yeah. So he comes, you know, he comes back, and he's, you know, he's expecting the father to really be upset with him. We're talking about you now. You do understand that, don't you? We're talking about what you go through. And we're trying to change that tonight. Okay, just making sure we're still on the same track here. And so he's, you know, so he thinks, well, praise God, thank you. My father will at least receive me back. I mean, you know, he'll always look at me suspicious after this. But at least he'll receive me back and I'll get some bread and I'll get a pardon out of it. Amen? Okay. So he comes walking back and he doesn't realize the father is out there already looking for him, waiting for him. And so the father sees the son and the father runs to the son. You need to realize that it's the son in you. It's Christ. And the father always runs to his son. Start acknowledging the son. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Start acknowledging his mind, his view, instead of beating yourself and hating yourself and taking forever to get over it. You know? We take forever. Well, I have to. It has to take at least a month. Are you Catholic? No, but you know. But I'm just like it. You know? No, it doesn't. In fact, it's not even a situation that you have to just acknowledge that the Father will be on your side. It's a situation where you are ready to give the Father his Son, even if you haven't been giving him the Son. Say yes to the Lord. Say yes to the Lord. The prodigal, he was content with a pardon, and he was content. Well, in my father's house, there's bread enough. But what happened when he returned? What happened when he returned? Well, for that morning feast, he got a kiss from the father. He got a ring. That's right. He got robe. He got shoes. He got a feast. He got a fat cat. He didn't get bread. There's bread enough in my father's house. I'll just come back. Maybe I'll get a loaf. You know, he went to the other servants because they're not sons. He went to the other servants because they're just serving God. They're serving the Father, but they're not trusting the reality of the Son within them. And he goes to them and he says, go kill the fatted calf. Let's get the party on. That's written right here too. That's right. It's not those words. That's a new translation I'm working on. So far, that's the only verse I've got. And so the father says in his heart, he doesn't see, the father didn't say a bunch of stuff. The father kissed him and did all this stuff. The father's kissing him, putting a robe on him. The ring is the signet ring of the family. It's the authority of the father. And what is he doing? He's standing there. He's got a kiss on his face from the father. He's got a robe of righteousness as the father sees it. He's got the authority and the signet ring of the father. He's got the shoes, the ability to walk in this. And he's standing there going, well, I just need to repent. I'm not worthy to be called your son. And please just give me a pardon and a little bread and I'll shut up. You know, God wants to give Christ to you, and he wants you to give him back to him. He gave you Jesus, but he wants you giving him back. It's your son that is returned, and that's what the father said. When the elder son was griping and going, well, you never threw me no party. This ain't right, man. I mean, I never did anything wrong. And what did the father say? This my son. was dead, and now he's alive. Hold it. Remember in the book of Revelation when Jesus got introduced in the first chapter? And he's standing there and he says, I am he that was dead and now I am alive. Woo! That's the son that was in the prodigal. This my son, the one who was crucified and rose again, is in him. He's in there and he was dead and now he's alive. My son was dead and now he's alive. The prodigal should have gone, woo! Woo! Run to the service, get that fatted calf going, man, you know, that's party, you know, come in. You know, come here, Garth, party on. So I want you to see that his treatment of the prodigal was by Christ. His treatment is based on death and resurrection. Not good and evil. That's the wrong tree. That was the tree he said don't eat of. His basis is the tree of life. His basis of treatment is on death and resurrection. And it's related to the Son that is within you. And it's related to the Son that you're joined to. And you are in him. You are in Christ and you are joined to him. And folks, the Father believes in the finished work. Yeah. Do you? Because he believes in it. He's thoroughly convinced. He's rejoicing over it. He's going, he's back, and it's my son that was dead, but now he's alive, and he's kissing him, and you know, I mean, he's kissing him and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, imagine if the father's jumping around going, it's Jesus, it's my son in you, and the prodigal's walking around all, well, I'm sorry, I messed up, and you know. The father's just, woo, and the son's, oh no, I messed up, you know, it'd be like two worlds going on. Well, that's your life. But that's our life unless we really start being grafted in and receive the engrafted word, not the talky talk word. The engrafted word. That's what it says in the scripture. Get that in you, and man, it's grafted into your heart, and nobody can rip it out. Not the devil, not anybody, not the strongest principalities and powers. Nothing can change that. God settled it in his son, and if you're accepted in the beloved, the one point where I need the chalkboard. See this circle? I know that you do. There's the Son, and you are in the Son. So I'll draw you inside the Son, okay? The only way, if that's true and eternally true, and it is, the only way he can ever reject you is to reject the Son. Right? You know, we say, no, he'll find a way to reach in there and pull me out of Jesus. Anybody ever heard the term the carnal mind? There's an example of it. That is it, but that's us. And we go, and we, you know, I mean, it's fun to talk about it in here and everything. But when you get in the situation where you're going through it and you don't feel like you're with the Lord and you don't feel like you've been doing good and everybody else is doing better than you, the father wants to talk to the prodigal and tell him about the son that he sees. You say, well, they're doing good, and I'm the prodigal. He wants to talk to you, not about your problems. He already received him before the son repented. Check it out. Before, he didn't require that. He was acknowledging the son. And he figured, if you came back to the father's house, praise God, And our minds need to come back to the Father's house in Christ. We need to come back to that reality. We need to learn to stay there. We need to learn to fix our hearts and our minds. Here, say it with me. I belong in this feast. Okay, I'm going to use discernment. I belong in this feast, right? Let me hear it again.
I belong in this feast.
You sure do. You sure do. You were drawn of God to this time. And it's the wooing heart of the Father for His Son. Acknowledge it. Let it happen. Go with it. Don't resist that. That's the greatest thing that could ever have happened to you. Say this: the seeds that I have sown are not insignificant and foolish.
The seeds that I have sown are not insignificant and foolish.
Do you believe that? Do you believe it tonight, but never beyond this? Jesus died on the cross and He said, it's finished, kind of. Yeah, it's almost done. It'll take 2,000 more years. Yeah, He said, it's finished, done. It's finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Say it with me. God sees me as one with Jesus.
God sees me.
Now, why am I doing this? You go, oh, he's one of them name it and claim it preachers. You know, he's one of them blab it and grab it guys. Gosh, this group here, we could go for a while. No. Sometimes it's good to say things. And you know what confession is? The word confession in the Greek means to say with. You say with God what He says. That's my confession. He said it, I'm with Him. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Pretty cool, hallelujah. How about this? I reject condemnation. I reject self-pity.
I reject self-pity.
I was thinking that might go down a little bit. What? Because yeah. self-pity, you know. I reject it. I take my place at the table with my brothers and sisters.
I take my place at the table with my brothers and sisters.
All right, some of you need prayer. You know that? Some of you need the Lord... has been doing some stuff. So I'm going to... let me just get this guitar ready so I'm not fighting with it later. Oh, it feels good to sit down. Can't believe I stood the whole time. Thank God I at least wasn't jumping around or doing crazy stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the prodigal son, he slipped away, as it were. He slipped away, and he allowed distance to happen. Right? He allowed distance. The Lord didn't do that. He allowed distance to happen between him and the Father. And, folks, that doesn't mean you've left God, or you've, you know, there may be just some simple thing in your life where you've allowed distance to happen. You know? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, we love Jesus so much we don't want to allow any distance. And, you know, some of you have done the same thing, and that's okay. The Lord wants to receive you back. That's the main thing. That's what He's, you know. And the prodigal son came back to the Father, and he came back with an open heart, didn't he? That's important. And he did want to be back as close as he could get. I want you, Jesus. I want to get closer. You may not have any sin or any failures. This isn't talking about sin here. But he did want to regain the ground. Anybody feel that in your heart? Man, I want to regain some ground here. You know? And the Father's response to that, the Father's response to his heart doing that, it wasn't just forgiveness. He entered into a whole new relationship with the Father through the Son. A whole new relationship with the Father through the Son instead of you trying to be good. And that's what Ben was trying to share today about the law and trying to do it yourself, achievement, whatever. God wants you to enter through a passage that is the Son and the Father's love for his Son. What does the scripture say in Colossians? That we are accepted in the, or that's in Ephesians, but it says we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love is the actual Greek words there. The Son of his love. You've been put in the Son of his love. Wow, that's good news. That's real good news. I like that. Praise God. So you know, we have places down here, and I'll call you forward in just a minute, but we have places that you can come and kneel and feel free. That's the Lord dealing with you. But if you're going to, you know, come, and you're going to come broken in the sense that, you know, not that you feel all this stuff, but in the sense that you want the Lord in that reality, then you should come ready to receive. Receive what? Well, receive forgiveness, of course, but also then to get up and join in the feast. I mean, really join in the feast, you know. I mean, read the prodigal son feast and tell me. I mean, they were making so much noise, the elder son came out and said, "What's going on in there?" And whatever it is that you messed up on, or you haven't been doing right, or you didn't do right, or you know, even if it's not something heinous, that, but for whatever reason, everybody's better than me, and why should I try? I mean, I can't even think of all of your horrible thoughts. But let's end that tonight. Let's enjoy the rest of the feast with the Father through the Son. Don't be dragging around and feeling bad. And, you know, it's simple. Just believe the Father's heart. This has been a true picture of the Father's heart. Now, all we got to do is just believe that. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hands.